I don't know if you're going to like some of the things I want to say, but it doesn't matter. Belief systems do not matter. I've not learned anything in 51 years. It is on. I guess I'm just going to share. All I can do is share my experience for now, and if maybe you can glean from it, maybe it will resonate with some of your own experiences, and maybe it'll challenge some of your own old beliefs. I always tell groups that there's three things that I like to see in any meeting, and that is, one, validation. What people are already hearing in themselves, but they haven't brought it into that outer consciousness, and you're saying it for their own inner guidance. To me, that's one of the most beautiful ideas of interpreting tongues I can imagine, is interpreting your own tongues. The tongue of the spirit that is speaking to your mind and trying to bring something into consciousness. And sometimes, one of the greatest things that people have said to me through the many years of, oh, I was just thinking about that, or I was contemplating that, but I didn't quite know how to put it together, and you did that for me. So that means I've kept the power with your power within you and not disempowered you when I can speak for the teacher. Most of you know that for many years I've come from a premise that if you really do believe in the indwelling of the presence, what many of us in this room has called the Holy Spirit, it's the presence. It's the presence. The presence of authentic self. The presence of our essence. It's the presence of spirit. We have many words for it, but it's the presence of the only thing that's real. And that is the one of us that was created in the great instant of great, I call it, self-realization of cosmic mind. If we do believe in the indwelling of the presence within, and then we take it from the idea, and all of these are just ideas, all these texts are ideas, whether it's Course in Miracles, whether it's the Bible, whether it's anything else that we're studying or reading, they're just ideas that are given to us to see what resonates, our own inner inherent intelligence system. If we do believe that the Holy Spirit leads us, guides us, teaches us, and brings us into all truth, though when common sense tell you that if something's in you that can bring you to all truth, then all truth has to dwell somewhere in you now. So truth is not gathered from the outside. Yes. It's not gathered by the letter. It's not gathered by pieces or fragments of even speakers. All that we can do, all a book can do, all a CD can do, all a DVD can do, all that a speaker, as myself, can do, all we can do is to resonate that intelligence and to assist and facilitate what's going on inside of those who are attracted to me and attracted to others. Everybody has attractions toward different ways that people say things and speak. And I think that's for a reason, because I think there's the law of resonance that's going on there. There's something, may not be exactly alike. If I take, and I say this a lot, but if I play a C chord on this piano, it's going to sound very harmonious, because there's three different separate notes that are harmonious with each other, and they make a sound that's bigger than the sum of the three notes. That's called a chord. So you don't hear C, E, G, you hear the C chord. The chord is the synergy that is larger. So what I'm saying, why I'm saying that is, we don't have to be in total agreement the way we all say it. We may not be in agreement with the words that are used, but somehow we have something in us that have drawn us together that is harmonious. That we can be in harmony with each other. We can be on different notes, but same chord. And so that's my position, that's my intention as I get up, is to try my best to awaken and to speak for the teacher and alert the teacher in you that I am here willing to facilitate for that teacher. But the point is, if we have all truth, why do we seek for truth outside of ourselves? Now, I've been in this so many years that there's a part of me that gets quite weary. That's the word I want to use. Weary. And I think it's a good thing. I think it's a very spiritual thing, I should say. Neither good nor bad, it just is. But I think there's a part of our system of how we process that is supposed to get weary. It's supposed to get very tired. And that part is what we call the system of ego. And that's what I'm going to talk about in just a little bit. What is the system of ego? And why do we continue to work with it when it's not real in the first place? How are you investing your energy? Let's talk about that a little bit. So anyway, if the teacher is in you and it has all truth, then all truth is in you. And as I've said for many years, and some of you I've known for so long, I can't really say things in new ways, but I hope you hear them in new ways. Sometimes the old has become the new earth. So it may become new to you in a different way, but if we have that which contains all of the truth for us and all that is true, and that's two different things. The truth and what is true is two different things in my point of view. I could say something and you could think and feel that is true to your belief system, that is true to where you are on your journey and through the mind. But the truth, the only absolute that I know after all of the different spiritual schools that I've dabbled in, through all the different ways to say it, all the different holy textbooks of anything, I have for myself, my experience that transcends every belief. The only thing I know is existence. Existence. Therefore, I think the most absolute truth that anyone can experience is their own identity. To know who they are. And I can't help but echo the idea of the teacher that said, I'm the truth. I think that's so wonderful when you hear it. Because most of Christianity who follow Christian teaching puts more of an emphasis on having the truth. Like Jesus had the truth for you if you'd listened to him. But he didn't say that. He didn't say, I've got the truth, follow me, and I'm going to build a great religion on all of these different things I'm going to say. The truth begins in the core of the essence of who and what I am. I am the truth. And remember, I've told that story of when I had this experience, which has been several years ago, in meditating on the truth, being weary of the journey of finding the truth. My goodness, it gets tiresome on this path. Now, I'm going to say something. You know why it gets tiresome on the path? Because there really isn't a path. What's getting weary is your illusions, and what's getting weary is the idea that you can attain something you think you don't have or become something you think you're not. And that's the path you follow. The path that you follow is the path of coming to that point of being so weary that I don't think I'm going to follow this path anymore because it's not going to take me anywhere. And I've thought so many times along the path, this is the one, this is it. Every one of you here could tell me a story about getting into this and getting into that, how exciting it was in the beginning, and you thought this is the very group or church or religion or spiritual path that you were looking for, and this was it, to find that blessing of it in the beginning, the excitement of it, to find out slipping away with new things that were coming and new experiences was coming. It just seems like it was an endless, bottomless pit of information and knowledge that was always exciting, always exciting. And you got to always stimulate the ego. You got to keep it stimulated. new beliefs and new ideas all the time. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute, expose it for what I think that it is in all this. So if the truth is in us, and in looking back at all these years, how many times I have used the term or people have used the term, and especially we who come from the background of Pentecostal or charismatic or anything like that, how people have said, I felt led. That was our word. That's a terrible word to use, to feel led, but it's a biblical term. But we would feel leadings to do things. So we'd say, I felt led to just come and hug you and just say, I love you. I don't even know you. Maybe if somebody's sitting in the for the first time, but you just had that feeling to feel led, that they just needed a good hug. And then your brain saying, but I don't understand why I'm doing this. Or I felt led to call you today. Or I felt led to write you this note. Or I felt led to give you this $5 or $25 because you needed it. How many times in our life we've had that leading beyond understanding why we were doing it? I don't know why I'm calling you today. I just woke up with you on my mind today, and I just felt led and drawn to just call you today and tell you that you're a beautiful child of the universe. I know we've all experienced those moments, that there's something that's expanded beyond what we understand with our head, with our brain. And we call that sometimes intuition. Intuition's the same thing, to be intuitive. It's exactly the same thing. Being intuitive to do something that you know to do but don't understand why you did it. So I learned years ago that people knew a lot more than they understood. But they knew it. And yet the ego somehow, part of ourself, takes that into you don't know it, you need to learn it. Because you don't know it. So we spend our time reading books after books. And I'm not against any of these things. I love reading books. I'm reading a great book right now. You know, I read a lot on planes, traveling. It's my best time for reading time is to be in an airport and in an airplane. What else can you do? So I read a lot, and I enjoy reading, and I enjoy gathering people's new ways of saying things and information and knowledge, but I'm really not looking for the truth in any of it anymore. Like I used to, looking for someone to give it to me. Give me that truth. Give it to me. I need to get that truth because I don't have it. And what a relief it is to find out that I am the truth. I am the truth. I am the truth. So why I'm saying all that is to say all that can be done in meetings like this or any other meetings is those who have given themselves to facilitate for the inner teacher. I think it's very egoic to start labeling ourselves as a teacher, just as I think it's egoic to label ourselves as a healer. I got in a great debate in my center recently because someone came to me and said, you can't keep going around town telling people they're not healers. I said, are you saying to me you are a healer? I said, I've got a really back that would love to have your healing. Would you please heal me right now? Oh, I don't know. No, you said you are a healer. And I was trying to be as sincere as I could be. I thought, if this person is a healer, I want them to heal me. Well, they just didn't quite manifest that. Because the power for me to heal is in me. You can help me. You can facilitate my inner healing process. You can awaken it. You can allow it to do what it wants to do by undoing anything that's blocking it or where it's buried in the subconscious or something like that. You can do that. You can clear the way. You can make a way in the wilderness. You know, people jump over that part of the ministry of Jesus. I mean, if Jesus' ministry was so great and so powerful, it's because it had been prepared for him. That's what a great ministry is, the ministries that prepare for the ministry. As Heidi and Dale do and Hannah does, and so many of you have always made a way when I come so I can minister, but you prepared a way. Now that's outwardly, but inwardly we have to do the same thing. We have to prepare through the wilderness of the erratic chattering of ego, of its constant questioning, of its constant needing for its beliefs or unbeliefs, but its belief in lack, that I don't have something and somebody's going to come and give it to me. So I don't like it when people say, well, you're the teacher or you're the healer. They're just labels that try to imprison me into something that is less than wholeness. I don't like to be imprisoned in anything less than I'm a whole, magnificent child of the universe. There lies to me the best way that I can say in an earthly language anything about what this truth may be, is I am a whole, magnificent child of the universe. And I've added recently, now. Not going to be, not later. Do you like to do it with me three times? I am a whole, magnificent child of the universe now. I am a whole, magnificent child of the universe now. I am a whole, magnificent child of the universe now. And everything else is entertainment. Now you can become as a child and play in the great chartered and unchartered aspects of information, which we all love and need to. I'm not in any way suggesting retirement once you find the truth. And some people have taken that, and I think that's sad that people think the minute they think they are gods and they are Christ and they are whatever, you know, divine beings, that they think that's the end of the road. Oh, it should just be the beginning. Mm-hmm. People say, well, I'm a human being. I'm not a human doing. Well, if you were really being who you were, you'd be doing a lot. Because this planet needs a lot. There's a lot of consciousness out there that's still asleep mm-hmm. and caught in the dream of materialism and externalism and separation. There's so much to be done. But the ego turned and put the cart before the horse, and we all were doers, 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 and didn't know who we were. We tried that way. We tried doing, 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 when we thought we were Christians and thought we were all these religious labels or whatever we thought we were. Then that all went away from us, and we didn't know who we were. We didn't even know what to say or how to answer people when people said, well, what are you? What church you go to? Are you a Christian? Well, not exactly, probably the way you mean it. You know, as the label slipped away, so did an identity begin to slip away from us. So, basically what I'm saying at this point is, all truth is in me now, but my brain doesn't understand all that truth that my authentic spirit is teaching me. The things of the spirit are foolishness to the natural, carnal mind. Ego. We didn't have that term ego back in the Bible, so it was carnal mind. It comes from an old word for carne, fleshy, dense. It's really that word was translated somehow into the Bible. It's from the word carne. Carnivorous, meat eater. Mm-hmm. You could say somebody who's carnally minded could be a meathead. To be carnally minded is death, it says. To be spiritually minded is life. You know, you can't throw out these wonderful little principles. They make a point. They make an important point. So we need to expand our personal consciousness by being taught by the inner teacher. And sometimes that the teacher then would not speak English, it would not speak Aramaic, it would not speak Sanskrit, it would not speak any terrestrial earthly language, because if it did, then it would be in the separation. It would be a result of the Tower of Babel. It would be when the tongues were all changed and nobody understood each other. And that's the way it is today. People don't understand each other who all speak English. If you speak certain English concepts that are more spiritually based, people have no idea what you're talking about. And you're speaking the language they learned, English. And many of you have done that with friends and family, said, what in the world are you talking about? Because you were speaking with new tongues. New tongues, new ideas, new concepts that were beyond the norm of culture, society, and religion, and so on and so forth. So we have to raise our understanding, we have to raise our understanding to the level of the frequency of our knowing. And that's why we study. That's why we do what we do, is to raise that individual part of ourselves to resonate with the truth. But to think it is on the way to the truth is the illusion. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. To think that you can attain the truth by following the mental path is the great illusion. But the beauty of grace, I'm going to call it grace, the beauty of grace is to wear you out with all of your mental calisthenics and all your mental studying and all your mental. Now please, again, I'm trying to be careful with this, because I'm saying we're not going to study, we're not going to read books. But we shouldn't be reading books to get there. We should be reading books because we have arrived there. In other words, start from the premise of being the truth and being whole, rather than being in lack and in need to attain what I don't have. There's the shift to me. Everybody talks about the shift of perception, but let's go a little bit deeper. The shift in perception is a shift in premise. It's a shift of your starting point from where you come from, which is the word that Jesus used for his Father. I'm of my Father, you're of your Father. My words are spirit, your words are about spirit. There, right there, is the most beautiful picture I can give you, the difference of the mind and the brain. The brain speaks about something it is not. The mind speaks about what it is. The brain can analyze the subject of love and put a presentation and PowerPoints and write a book. There's tons of books about love. And you can mentally read about what it is to be love. You can break it down. But it doesn't make it love to talk about love. To teach about love. To write a book about love doesn't make anything love. You're only in perception. You're only in mental construct of a subject that you may not have ever experienced. And I'm not sure if very many people have really experienced the totality of love. Now, I know we love each other. People get in love. I don't like fall in love, but are in love. Some of you know what that is. I remember when I met them, you know, it was just kind of a interesting. I mean, I just remember it well. The first time you all came and had that connection, you know, I knew, I just felt it. It's just obvious that something was going to go on here. So I'm not about those individual personal things that we have with people. We have wonderful love with our children. We have a wonderful love that's a little different with the grandchildren. We have different love we have with someone that's our intimate partner. There's many, many stages of love as we know it as human beings, but I'm talking about the very essence of love that's transcendent to all of that. I'm talking about what I can't talk about. That's exactly what I'm trying to get to. I can't talk about it. I'm talking about what's behind the word love. Same thing with God. I can't call it anything. I mean, when I call it God or I call it love, I'm trying to capture it within and giving my ego a way to structure it into a system. A system that puts a lot of condition on it. That's the first thing. That's the ego's thing about love, is to put, I love you because I love you, even in spite It goes both ways. I love you till death do us part. I love you forever. Well, I mean, what does all these things mean? I mean, we don't even know what we're talking about. It's just egoic brain chatter. We're building on the sinking sand of a consciousness on sinking sand that can sink so quickly in divorce or a condition or making somebody mad or upset or I don't love you anymore. I thought I did. And I see it all the time. I've lived long enough to see so much of that kind of thing, of people who say they love you with their hidden agendas and their hidden conditions and all these kind of things. I'm not talking about that kind of love in any way. That's such a human, that's the love that is in the dream, in the stupor. Am I condemning that? No. Am I saying it's bad? No. I've not made any judgment about it. I'm just saying that is a version of something that we can't name nor call. It just is. So I rest trying to find the end of the definition. You hear that? Do you feel that? I'm tired of trying to find the exact definition so I can end it. Because I will never end it, Jim. I will never end it if I keep going from one mental construct of my brain to the next one. It is the bottomless pit. We make it so hard and so, but I think it's probably as easy as taking a deep breath and just letting go of everything that anyone has ever thought anything is. So what is all this chatter? I'm going to actually share something with you that I'm reading right now. That, see how contradictory the ego is? It's so contradictory. It's so double-minded. But it's what I want to say. This just gave an example. This could be anything. This could be, I can make up my own, actually. That's the thing about the brain and the ego. It can just make up things. It just makes up things to think about, things to worry about. So I'm worried about the hurricanes coming up from heading for Arkansas. I just barely made it out yesterday. It's there now. I'm going around and around. It's kind of heading this way, your way. It'll be a little rain. But I thought, man, am I going to make it? I got to drive to the airport to Little Rock. I've got to park my car. I wonder if this is going to happen. And I hope I get there on Thursday. Maybe it's going to be Friday before I get there. I got there. I thought, I'm going to find a parking place close enough, you know, da 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 da. And all these things, all this jabber, and then I'm thinking about, oh my God, my, you know, my back, I got, am I going to have a layover in, this chatter goes on and on and on. Then I'm thinking about, well, I wonder if anybody's really going to come to the meetings, and so, you know, is there going to be really any this, you know, what should I do about finance, what should I do about, oh, this, and I thought, 90-some% of what I just thought about hasn't even happened. Not one thing I thought about has even happened in any way. It is just mental chatter that wouldn't stop. Now, if I connect to that chatter in any way and believe that I am anything in that chatter, I have an emotional experience. The emotion that I'm talking about will be a fear, maybe some anger at the weather. Why is it coming this way? Why couldn't it have gone the other way? It will be a sense of insecurity. Everything that I don't want to emotionally experience will come from my belief system believing that chatter. But what if I leaned back from the chatter? I was telling her I had the most bizarre experience flying here. I paid $39 extra because of leg room on this little bitty plane that now we fly. Big guys, it's tough. So I decided to do the $39. I mean, it already had taken me for all this money to come, so I thought $39 will give me some leg room because I've having some, had a knee issue a little bit. I thought, just give me some leg room, don't be all. So I'm with another man who's also in the exit row. And two big guys in the exit row and a little bitty plane are just like this. So I figure I own half of this thing and he owns half. But he didn't like me having my half. And he just, and I knew it was a strange, you know, I had a strange aura about him. There was just something different about his energy. I thought, this, I don't know what it was. And personally, he just says to me, he says, what are you trying to rub my arm for? He says, I said, I'm not trying to rub your arm. I have no desire to rub your arm. Don't flatter yourself in the first place. No, I thought that. But I was close to saying a lot of things. But he said, I think we can do better than this or something like that. And I thought, man, I need to tell him. I paid for this ticket. And that chatter started. I knew that. Who does he think I am? I felt totally insulted. I felt embarrassed. I felt all these things. The chatter went on. The chatter went on. Just that chatter was going on. And here I am thinking along these lines and really moving this way. And I just stopped and just leaned out of it. Just leaned out of it. And said, wait a minute. I am not the angry. The anger, the thought of anger is not who I am. The thought of embarrassment or resentment or being vindictive or getting back or protecting myself, my fragile ego wants to be protected. And I just leaned back. I positioned myself the best I could to make sure this did not happen. It really felt good. What would I have started? Maybe I'd have started something really embarrassing if I'd have said something. He'd have said something back and whatever. But I realized I didn't give belief to the thought, therefore I had no more emotion about it. The anger left me. The embarrassment, everything that I emotionally was experiencing because of those thoughts was instantly gone when I detached from it and realized I'm not those thoughts. I'm the observer of those thoughts. I'm the observer of those thoughts. Now, this is not heavy, deep revelation and knowledge, but I'm telling you, it's one of the best things that's ever happened to me in a long time is to experience something. I could come here with all kinds of deep, heavy revelation and knowledge. You know I can do it. But we keep leaving almost the same way we came and go right back into the same thing we went into. And this has got to stop. Because I'm tired of us trying to find it. And you got to watch these things like, seek and ye shall find. You have to discern these things. These are things you've got to be careful about. Yes, there's wonderful things in all these texts and books, but when, in any way, if it comes from lack or separation, it is not of your spiritual teacher. I'm tired of carrying baggage. Baggage from childhood. Baggage from when I was in the womb. Baggage from when I was rejected at one time or whatever. I'm just tired of, and I'm weary. But when I say I, which I am I talking about? The me or the I? Am I the authentic one talking or am I the chatter talking? Because I think I still am the one who was done whatever to 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, or in the womb or whatever. If I can lean away from what that man, what I experienced with that man on the airplane, maybe it's as simple as leaning back out of the situation to be the true, clear observer that I am and realize that I am none of those things. This is why you got to be careful about people who keep carrying labels. I get in a lot of trouble over this thing of alcoholic and all of that. I shouldn't say anything because I've not come from that direction and I don't know what. And I know alcoholic meetings help a lot of people, but I don't understand if you haven't taken a drink for 30 years and you really got it, that you keep calling yourself, I'm an alcoholic.
Yes.
just does not make sense to me to hold yourself into that place because you fear that if you say you're not, you'll have a drink. And I could be completely wrong about that because that's not my experience. I don't know that. But I feel the same way about fundamentalist Christians. I think they're just as much recovering Catholics. There's recovering Catholics. There's recovering Christians. There's recovering all kinds of things. We're all recovering. Everybody's trying to recover from some dysfunction and addictions. Because we're born into the world of addiction. We were addicted. By the first few years of our life, we're pretty much set in what we think we should be. Some religions have even bragged, give us your children to 5 years old and we'll have them for life. And it's true. So here's the thing. Now we become awakened and we're decided I'm not going to follow that system of organized, man-made religions and ideas. So now we get on the path because, by golly, we're going to become something new and great, and we're going to become free and spiritual. And that's what I'm trying to tell you, that to turn my lead into gold. Because I could be even angry at that. The years of spending of trying to believe so hard that I was going to go into degeneration and immortality and all of that. I don't think that's a less of a wonderful idea that could be true, but it's not my truth. If I go by the way of the grave tomorrow for some reason, that would not make me a failure of being less than the truth. Because the truth is already established. It's successful. For us to think we're anything less is to say, truth did not succeed in my life. What a horrible testimony to think that we are lesser than what we were created to be. And I think the fact that religion and even spirituality, quote unquote, did not take us far enough. Did not take me far enough. I cannot speak for it, but did not take me far enough. It really was when there was a simplicity for any of us to understand things from the quantum level. When I heard Dr. Fred Price, and this is in 1990, I mean, it's a long time ago, that somebody gave me a little cassette tape of Dr. Fred Price, who is a relative physicist, talking in Unity Church in Atlanta, Georgia, talking about if you observe a glass of water, at some level a glass of water is observing you. I talk about the scripture that says the things of the Spirit are foolishness to the natural man. That was the most foolish thing at one level, but at another level it intrigued me that this man with these kind of scientific license and education would make this ridiculous, what I thought stupid, thing that a glass of water is observing me. But it was a seed that stayed within good ground. Thank goodness the fowls did not come and take the seed. They did not grow among the rocks and the roots, did not take hold, but the seed took place in good consciousness and good ground enough that years later I began to understand that everything in its own way has a consciousness. Everything is conscious. There's only one consciousness. Consciousness is the isness of everything. And I appreciate that. I just need to practice this presence. I know that's an old adage that has been worn out, but that's what's lacking for me, is I am so busy learning for workshops and learning for meetings and learning to stimulate other people and to try to give other people something. And it's true, somehow the first becomes last and last becomes first. And it's my time. Thank you. They're here. It's my time for my own experience. So rather than to be angry about all the years I spent to try to do this, I'm grateful. I turn that lead into my goal in the fact that I realize this is the way it happens. It happens as that pseudo-self, that self of culture, society, and religions, and all of the things that make us up, get so weary and so tired because it's trying to get home. It's trying to get back to the Father's house, if I can talk Christian talk. And how I've used this idea of the prodigal son. When I got into Course in Miracles, I saw, well, it says, well, there's only one begotten Son of God. How could there be two sons of the Father? And immediately I saw, well, this was two levels of the same Son. It was what was going on in the realm of reality, and it was what was going on in the realm of what's going on in the head of the Son. The Son fell into the dream that it had left the source of the Father and went out and got ended up in riotous living and all of that kind of thing. But when he came to himself, there was the answer. The answer was not how to pull him out of the swine pen and how to get him out of whatever all that meant, all the symbolism. It was when he came to himself, self-realization of who he was, and then started on a path of awareness, not the path of enlightenment. There is no path of enlightenment, but there is a path to awareness. And everybody has to follow that part of the path. That's what the path is. The path is the one that takes us far enough into a frequency that can wake us up on the path. It doesn't finish the path, but it wakes you up on the path. And here's the story. You all know this story. So the son is trying to, oh, my father's missing me. I'm sure he's worried about me. I've left, and he's going to be so glad to see me and whatever. And he's getting in, following the path back, because he thinks he's gone. He's separate now. He's not there. Then he gets close enough, awareness, that he sees, who's that with my father? My father's not alone. Oh my God, the son never left. There's a son that never left the father. So the path was over, because there was never a need for a path in the first place, because what he had thought had happened had only happened in his own mental stupor. How much are we living that? How much of the pain of our life, how much of the tragedies of our life have we lived in a stupor? I just don't think it can be fixed. If it had been fixed, it would have been fixed. People have paid the price. As we used to say, they have paid the price over and over again and again to have attained to much more than they've attained. Some of the great inspirations of my life, some of you would know, Doris Van Ossum played a great place in bringing me to universal reconciliation. Bill Britton brought me into sonship. I mean, there's been different people in my life that has inspired me to get up out of the pen I was in and to start realizing there was something else, something they just didn't know how to tell us, but they made us aware of it, and I honor those who have made us aware. But it still came out of a lack of something that wasn't that needed to be, or something that we could become, we could become. This is where I know I felt my first kind of outgrowing and leaving of the Sons of God movement, is because they kind of at the beginning went from a state of an elect group of sons of God who had become that because they had accepted Jesus as their Savior, and therefore among the saved of Christianity there was an elect group chosen to be the sons of God. And then I begin to realize, who could not be a child of a Creator? You can't pick your own children that you have. Any of you that have children, you can't say, well, you've really been bad, so you're just not going to be my child anymore. You're going to share that blood life forever with them, as long as you're in this physical realm. I don't care what they do or don't do. They are yours by birth. And everyone is who they are by creation, not by being born again or going down to an altar or joining or being baptized or taking communion or doing some kind of ritual, which, again, I'm not totally against. I think rituals can enforce. I mean, I think about the great baptism, water baptisms we used to have into Christ for heart circumcision. They were powerful experiences. They enforced our faith and helped us. I'm not ever going to regret anything that's ever been done. It all was so important. But the point is, it was... Now, when we were younger, some of this meant, what, 30, 35 years ago, whenever it was? When we were younger, and I mean younger in our walk, we had a little more energy for it. You know, we traveled, revelations. I mean, we were feeling good. Now we got to kind of watch where we're putting our energy. How are we going to invest it? What meetings are we really going to go to? And got a lot to think about now. You know, I'm not as young as I used to be. And traveling is not as easy as it used to be. You know, I got to think about all these kind of things. It's not like it was. You have to really be more conscious about where energy is being invested into that gives you the best thing that you are looking for. And I wish it was in saying, I have something for you, and I may have something for you. I hope I have something for you tonight. I hope I have something for you this weekend. I hope we all have something for each other. But it's only to validate. It's only to strengthen the voice that is separate in each and every one of us, to make it stronger in us by coming together like this, that we leave here with a stronger and clearer understanding of that voice, that you are a whole magnificent child of this universe now. One thing I spend my time in all of the teachings of Soul Energetics that I feel is very unique to all of the other modalities out there is not to start from what's broken, but start with what is whole. Start with the wholeness of the person. Maybe that's a little science of mind or something. I don't know that I understand all that, but I do believe the healing of my mind is the healing of my brother's mind. I do believe that if I can look past what is broken, I can have empathy and listen to anybody who comes to me and they start in about this, that, and another physical. But I realize at the deepest level, beyond my five senses of what I cannot see, behind the chatter that is going on in that person because they believe they are the sick one, they believe they are the broken one, they believe that, therefore they're emotionally in their body experiencing that as an illness. That's what illness is. Illness is the chatter of the ego being believed that causes the emotion at the physical level because the body is neutral. Remember we used to teach how the word for spirit was pneuma, which has a masculine word ending. The word for mind or psuche, which has a female ending, and the word soma for body is a neutral. See, we don't have that in English, but other languages have a masculine, feminine, and neutral word ending, like Spanish or Italian, other things like that. We don't understand that. But in the Greek, it's that way. See, but the body was the neutral thing, and that's why it just believes whatever the brain thinks. You can sit there and make yourself frightened at a movie, sitting in a movie theater, and it's not even happening to you, but all of a sudden your hands will start sweating and your heart will start racing, and the body will totally react to whatever you believe that thought to be real. All of a sudden you become that person on that show that's about to get stabbed or whatever. So all the illnesses and sicknesses in our bodies are due to this idea of connecting a belief to a thought that is not real. And that's why our bodies, that's why we're not those bodies. I do believe we're a body, but we're not those bodies. When it says I am not my body, I'm not the embodiment of my mental thoughts that are not thoughts about who I truly am, but who I think I am. That's your body. That's the story the body's telling. And it's a sad story. Let's just be honest about it. The body is a great need. People are trying to get fixed physically, including myself. If I get out of my place, I want to be fixed. And I'm a hard one to fix. Ask Hannah. She helps more people down there. I mean, I know it's true. I know what she does. And she does so much for me. She just hadn't fixed me. Nobody has. And I think sometimes I walk in this consciousness that it's not about fixing me. I'm probably saying this wrong because I don't misunderstand because I want to get fixed. I'm not going to deny that. You know, I mean, I love for her to work on me. She does great work, and I don't know if I'd be standing here. When I met her over 3 years ago, I wasn't standing. When I was teaching on a hot June day in Nashville, Tennessee, and she came to that workshop. I was sitting on a stool, sweating, and just felt like I couldn't go on. So I'm not belittling that, but that's not my truth. My truth that behind all of that, I was still whole and magnificent. So I'm trying to change the whole premise of worship. Of worship. Let's call it worship. Because worship is what you connect to. Worship is what you give energy to. Whatever you worship, you're transferring. I mean, you love it enough and trust it enough that you give yourself to it. That is a form of worship to me. It's not, I worship you, Jesus, I worship you, God. You can do that because some of us feel that way about Jesus and about God. But worship is also with each other. If I recognize you and I give you myself and I open myself up to you, that is a form of worship. As far as I'm concerned, between us. It's not the ego's form of worship because you're higher, more, bigger, better. It's worship because I'm connected. So we've got to come from the fact of not worship because the world is broken, because the world is in sin, because the world is going to hell in a handbasket, because Obamacare is coming in. You know, whatever, all the political, all the whatever stuff. Don't fall into those trappings. Because it's wearing itself out too. It's just not you. It's just not me that's worn out. The whole system is worn out. The political system is worn out. The medical system is worn out. The educational system is worn out. Everybody's worn out. Because they can't seem to get it. Whatever it is for them. That's why they've had to make it so otherworldly and after death and in another time and whatever, because they do not have the answer in this lifetime. But they are the answer and don't know it. And when you don't know who you are, then you've got to have. It's got to be written perfectly in a book. It's got to be set perfectly in doctrine and dogma. If you want to feel more energy in your life, to manifest a different life, it's about pulling all of these plugs out of all the stuff that you think has been unfair to you. Everything, everybody you think has mistreated you, abused you. Why do we keep feeding things that aren't even happening, that happened years ago? And then we wonder why we're tired, why we're weary, why we're depressed. That's all depression is because we're just suppressing some memory that isn't even real today in our life. Now, I'm not saying that what I'm saying tonight is like bang, but I really don't think it's as hard to do as we think it is up here. Eagles want you to think this is a big deal now. I got to really start working on this. No. I'm going to ask you again. The next time something comes up that makes you sad, makes you depressed, angry, or any of those things, step out, lean back out of it. I mean, literally, lean back out of it. And say, I am none of these thoughts. I'm the observer of those thoughts, and I choose. That's why it says, choose this day. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. Are you going to serve the chatter of your brain that just constantly goes? Somebody can't even sleep because of the chatter. But the minute you start, and here's the key word. I am depressed. I am sick. The minute the word my is associated with that thought, you have the physical emotion. It's that simple. It's that simple to do it, and it's that simple to undo it by disassociation that it is not mine. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Whew, I love that. I've always loved that scripture. I thought, how could you be poor in spirit? What does that have to do with money or anything else to be poor? No, blessed are those who have nothing because they are everything. The wealth is in the being and the identity of who we are, not in what we have. Oh, I had a healing the other day. Well, praise God, let's have a testimony. And I'm not trying to be sarcastic about that. Share. Help other people's faith. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying we think it's so great. But here's the thing that happens. When you got your miracle and you got that healing or you got that whatever, you realize how many people you're telling that to that didn't get anything? That makes them feel bad? I used to listen to PTL back in its early years. Testimony after testimony. I got healed of this. I got healed of that. And here I am fasting, praying, and seeking God and trying to do everything. I'm preaching and giving my life to the Lord since I was 16 years old. And oh my God, you know, nothing's happening to me. And all these people are getting all these charismatics. They're not even Pentecostal. They're coming from the Catholic Church, Presbyterian Church. Who do they think they are? Made me feel bad. And I thought, I bet there's a lot of other people sitting out there who prayed, sought for a healing that did not get one either. But we only heard about the ones who did. They never talked about the ones who didn't. And that's what the ego's agenda is to make you think you are separate and more special than anybody else because you're a better Christian and you've read the Bible and you've done this and you deserve while other people don't deserve. So I say, let it all get worn out. It says that the adversary, the devil, whatever it says, has come to wear out the saints. It says that in the Bible. To wear out the saints. Well, the saints need to get worn out and realize they're first of all not saints. That's the first thing they need to get so worn out about, is they're not saints. Silliest thing I ever heard of. That we're not special just because of anything we have done or not, and we're all that we said we would be. I wrote this down because, and this is from Course in Miracles, this happens to be, but I don't know, but I had to find something in our, since I started services in the center, you know, people are looking for some kind of a creed or something. You know, I'm not good at that. So I just took Course in Miracles because I love this so much. We emphasize application rather than theory and experience rather than theology. A universal theology is impossible, but a universal experience is not only possible but necessary. I think that is so good. I thought that I couldn't have said it any better myself.